This is NFA Talk, the show that talks about guns and gun rights, keeping you up to date with what's currently going on, from the newest guns, promotions, and events, plus how we're lobbying for your rights.
All right, we're back with another episode of NFA Talk. I'm Jordan Vandenhoff. Joining me tonight, we have our president, Blair Hagen. We have our vice president, Rick Igersich. And I know the last NFA Talk, I said we were going to be back in a couple of weeks, but some things have changed, not for the great. You know, they did do the MSD extension, which we thought, okay, great, we have some time to fight this. You know, we were going to go politically, we were going to go with the court challenges. And now all of a sudden, Trudeau throws another one in our face. And what he throws in our face is he joined with the NDP. So now we have a coalition government that is basically a majority, right? So I don't know if you guys want to chime in here and maybe carry it on.
If it's not one thing, it's another. So the Trudeau Singh, I guess they refuse to call it a coalition. It's supposed to be some sort of agreement. The way I look at it, it's a coalition. And I think, you know, we've dealt with majority governments before, but I don't think we've dealt with one this threatening to us. I'm just kind of curious to see what they're going to throw at us now, Blair.
Well, frankly, I don't think this coalition is going to last long. And frankly, I think it speaks to how poor and how vulnerable this Liberal government and this Liberal Party is right now. I mean, the fact that a Liberal Prime Minister who had a majority government, who was reduced to a minority, sought that majority again and was again reduced to a minority, and now having to form a coalition with the NP, the NDP to stay in power, I think it's just really pathetic. And if you're a Liberal out there, you got to be going, what's going on here? Okay. I mean, this is the Liberal Party of John Chrétien, back-to-back majority governments of the 1990s with the confidence of Canadians. And here we are today. And this prime minister is in such a weak position that he feels that it's absolutely necessary to do something like this to stay in power. You know, I understand why everybody's concerned. I really do. But it's not a majority government. You know, it's a tentative coalition depending on the demands of the NDP. And they will make demands. OK. And those demands are not going to be in the best interest of Canadians. And the Liberal government is going to have to weigh that very carefully before going ahead with it, because this country is already in very, very bad economic shape. We have protests right across the country. Canadians are not happy. And this coalition is not going to improve on that. So if people think that this this is going to be like a de facto majority government or something like that, think again. I mean, it just shows the weakness of the Liberal Party of Canada and Justin Trudeau today.
Yeah, right. You know, I read some stats today. In the last election, there's 17,034,243 people voted. 8,592,977 votes of the popular vote is combining the NDP and the Liberal votes right now, and 8,517,121 are all the other votes. So basically, right now, even with the Liberals and the NDP combined, they hold 50.2% of the popular vote. So, you know, that's got to make you wonder too, and wonder what it's got to make the Liberal voters wonder. I think, you know, they're hauling in these NDPs, and my sources tell me that those two don't get along at all. So, like Blair's right, how long is this going to last? I think it's a time bomb, and I think it's going to, you know, my prediction is it's not going to last. It's not going to last till the next election.
Well, you know what? I think that's a very good way to put it. It is a time bomb, and it's a time bomb on a lot of different levels, okay? It's a time bomb in terms of these two parties having to try and work together. And, you know, it really depends on the NDP and how they want to go forward with this. And you know, I hate to say it, but I think Justin has kind of created a monster here. And, you know, he's standing in the laboratory and, you know, he's putting together parts that he thinks that that's going to keep him in power. And unfortunately, you make an alliance with the NDP, they're going to exploit it. And it's not going to be in the interest of Canadians. It's not going to be in the interest of the Canadian economy. It's not certainly not going to be in the interest of Canadian taxpayers. So I really don't know what he's going to do, because although he is prime minister, he has a Liberal Party of Canada that he has to answer to. And my God, I mean, as much as we dislike the Liberal Party and liberals in general, due to their gun policies, they're very, very misguided and reactionary gun policies. There are people there who I think, care about the economic future of this country. Love social programs, want to expand the nanny state, all that stuff, but they do recognize that at the end of the day, it has to be paid for. And you can't do that on the backs of Canadian taxpayers time after time after time and put this country in debt in perpetuity. Those people are there. And I think they're looking at this phenomena now and going, what does our party look like in the future? And I think that the question is this: if this continues, will there even be a Liberal Party in the future?
Well, you know, that's the next point right now. You know, you got to hand it to Trudeau. He played the hand he needed to play. Like right now, committees can't hold the Liberals to account with having full support of the NDP. So how do you hold the Liberals to account? You know, just a lot of things, you know, and Trudeau's been going on the last few weeks about defense spending. Now, yeah, I'm sure the NDP won't support any defense spending. So I don't know. My prediction is, and I could be wrong. You know, I'm just taking a guess here, but I predict this isn't going to last that long.
Well, yeah, I mean, but what does this really mean for gun owners, though? Because as we know, you know, the Liberals hate guns. The NDP party, they're not anywhere close to pro guns to even being somewhat sympathetic to us. They want guns gone as well. So now we have two parties that have joined that have 228 seats in the House. So no matter what kind of bill they come out, it's going to push right through.
Well, two things here. I mean, they've already got a bill they pushed through, the Liberals did, as a majority government, Bill C-71. And that hasn't even been fully implemented yet.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Certain parts, the lifetime background check, that has been implemented, the restrictive authorizations to transport, that has been implemented. But the main parts of the bill still haven't been implemented. They haven't been able to figure out to do it. The May 2020 OIC, that has had to be extended because they did not have logistics in place to see that through. So insofar as gun bills, is that the most important thing in this parliament at this time? I don't know.
I think this country's got a lot of problems. Yeah, I think they're going to say the firearms thing for the election like they normally do. You know, it's their go-to during the election. But you know what, though? It makes our job harder as the NFA. It does really make our job harder. We've got to go at more people now besides the Liberals. You know, we're going to have to lobby NDPs, and it's going to make our job a little tougher. But you know what? We're up for the fight. It's just that I don't believe, you know, we need to get our point across. Before, it was pretty cut and dried with the Liberals and the Conservatives. Now the NDP's in the game. It just, like I say, it's going to make our job harder. But you know what? We'll take the challenge on. You know, we're going to go at it. And, you know, with the support of our members, we're not going to slow down. We're going to hit this hard.
We have been in worse positions before. Boy, I remember the 1990s and long gun registry. And it was back-to-back Liberal majority governments. Okay? No coalitions, no, you know, one party depending on another. Full-on Liberal majority governments. And, you know, frankly, even then, they couldn't get it done. But the political solutions are there, and they're starting to unfold now. And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah,
right. So, Rick, when you said, you know, you think that they're going to hold off to the election, I'm with you on that one. But you got to remember, the elections could possibly be, if this government stays friends, 2025, you know, like Blair said, you know, it probably won't last, but we have to cross our fingers on that. They'll probably hold over if they don't last till next October when the OIC comes out, but they've got to keep their some of their supporters happy, which means that we are going to probably see, I'd say either, just before the summer break or right after the summer break, we're going to get some kind of legislation coming out, another small bill. They want to make do on their promise with the magazine capacities, and they have a few other things that they want to clean up with that, the new legislation on the classification system, their evergreen system, as they called it, right? So,
well, you know what, though, Jordan, in my opinion, though, the thing is, with the NDP working with the Liberals now, they're going to need a lot more money, and it's going to cost them a lot of money for this OIC seizures and if they want to put more firearms legislation in place. So, you know, we need to talk to the public and say, listen, you know what, this pharmacare, this dental care, all this stuff's going to cost a lot of money. It's probably going to come from our taxes because it can't really come from any place else. So where's the projection, how much this gun seizure thing's going to cost? You know, they're kind of putting themselves in a difficult spot, but I like you said, I'm sure they'll come up with some more legislation and even if there's not going to be a buyback or anything, the logistics on this are going to cost millions, if not $1 billion. Who knows?
I think the public already understands this. I mean, there's basically no support for what they've got going right now. The OIC spend money on this. This is not a priority. This is a Liberal pet project. You know, this is a hobby for the Liberal governments and the civil disarmament lobby in this country. And frankly, Canada cannot pay for it at this point. Okay.
Yeah, no. And it just got more expensive as of yesterday.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. At the end of the day, it's all going to be paid for. And that's where the crunch really comes in. And if you look back into history, that's what really, really undermined the Liberal Gun Registry of the 1990s, when it came out that it was 500% over budget, the political credibility was destroyed. And similarly, in these days, there's not a lot of backing for what they're doing on guns. It's purely a hobby horse for the Liberal government.
I'm curious to wait for the budget to come out and see what Freeland really says is going to go on. Where is she going to spend money? You know, the firearms thing wasn't mentioned in the last one, so I'm just wondering if it's going to come out this time or it's going to be head in the weeds like normal. I'm curious to see what she comes up with and where they're going to come up with all this extra money for all this other stuff.
It's not there.
Print it. They're going to print it. Yeah. They're going to print it. You know,
well, this country is in pretty bad economic shape now, and they're not going to get away with that forever, and especially as a minority government, despite this coalition, because even the most jaded progressive pundits will understand that, well, I mean, Canadians are going to want to know how it's going to be paid for. And, you know, if it's coming out of their pocketbooks, I just don't see any support for that. So I think this Liberal government under Justin Trudeau has got itself in a very, very dangerous position, and it's all on his plate. So I don't know. I really don't even know if he will be prime minister in 2025.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I see a Canadian cutthroat made a comment. They're trying to garner support by trying to make people scared with their new ads. You know what? That's the way the Liberals roll, and they play it off the people. That's what they do. You know, it's a big scare tactic, and it works in some cases. This thing is in its infancy right now. I'm just going to wait and see how this unfolds.
Yeah. No. I got to tell you, I think the way this issue is shook down in Canada today, there are just no more anti-gun votes to get. You either sit on one side of the issue or the other issue, and it's not a case of moving votes. And we saw this in the last election when they did a similar thing in the dying days of the campaign, where we'll roll out a lot of anti-gun ads and try to get the conservative leader in a compromising situation. Maybe he'll see something that will turn off his supporters. They will go to the PPC, and maybe we'll squeak through with another government. And that's what happened. happened. So believe you me, I mean, it's not a case of actually getting support for their programs or more votes for their programs. It's a hobby horse. They will ride that hobby horse for as long as they can. And I don't know, it's up to Canadian taxpayers to hold a new account.
You know, and it's, yeah. It's I'd be really interested to see too. Like, so far we've had ads running on the TV, which is probably not cheap, you know, trying to scare Canadians. Every firearms owner has gotten what are we up to, like 3 letters now from the RCMP? Four letters? I lost track. Like, you know, it instantly goes in the garbage for me. So all that costs money. So we've probably spent over a couple $1 million already, if not more, because like TV's not cheap, and they haven't even done anything yet. Like, they're still working, like Blair, like you said, they're still working on C-71 and still implementing that, right?
That's correct,
so
yeah.
I'm curious to see what they spent with IBM to come up with a solution to do this. I don't think those numbers have been released.
No. I mean, it has not been fully costed, and the main part of these programs hasn't even been put into effect yet. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you've heard about the $2 billion gun registry fiasco. We're headed for the same kind of fiasco now, and if this ever goes anywhere.
Well, add you know what?
We're locked and loaded for this. We've dealt with this before. We're going to go at them hard. You know what? We just got some new players involved, the NDP. So, you know, Canada's National Firearms Association, we're going to be talking to these NDP MPs and getting their points, and we're going to be educating them. That, you know, we're going to spend some time doing that, because we have to now. We're in a different position now, and you know, we've talked about this before. We're prepared to do this. So, like I've said in the past, with our members' help, you know what, we're gonna try to shift this thing around. If not shift it around, maybe cause enough riff in it so they blow apart.
Yeah, this and other issues, and there will be other issues.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, like at the same time, too, like we still have to have our members involved. Right. So if you're in an NDP riding, if you're in a Liberal riding, or better yet, maybe you're an NDP supporter or a Liberal supporter, is this the government you really voted for? Like did Trudeau and Jagmeet there say, hey, we're going to combine eventually and we're going to become one? You know, like I didn't vote Liberal. I didn't vote NDP, and I sure as heck did not vote for a Liberal NDP government, right?
And neither did the voters for those parties. And I know exactly what you're saying is going on now, because I was at a gun show in Chilliwack, BC, just this past weekend, and members were telling me exactly that. You know, I live in a Liberal riding or an NDP riding, and I'm at my MP's office telling them exactly what I think and what I want them to do. So that is going on. We're extremely politically active. Our membership is, firearms owners in Canada are. They know they've got problems with this. But, I mean, it's really getting it to the point where the credibility of what they're doing and the cost of what they're doing becomes so questionable that, well, at the end of the day, you would think, you know, calmer heads would prevail. But I think with this government, it's going to take a federal election to correct things. I think that will come. I still think that will come sooner rather than later. It's
absolutely. Trudeau's on a big ego trip, and he'll do whatever he can to stay in power. Like, it's all about his ego. You know, everybody's got to realize that he's doing this mainly for his own personal ego, and you know, exploit every cent he can get from the Canadians to keep moving forward. And the NDP just, in my opinion, they played right into his hand.
Right. So, Blair, tell me about the weekend. How was the gun show? Busy?
It was excellent. Yeah, it was very busy. It was the first large gun show in Metro Vancouver, Fraser Valley, in this part of the world. The Historical Arms Collectors Society of British Columbia puts on the show. The first one in 2 years because of all this nonsense. And it was one of those things, and I'm sure it was a similar experience across the country, where it was on, then it was off, then it was on again, then it was off again. And finally, the restrictions are coming off and we can do the show. So it was very well attended. The crowd did come out. And I think people are in a fighting mood. They don't like what's going on. I mean, the way all of this stuff affects their rights, freedoms, and property. You know what? I have a lot of confidence in firearms owners across the country. You know, in days past where we thought, oh, we got to get that vote out. We got to do our part in convincing people. We've got to get our message out, all of those things. Well, that's happened. I mean, I would say in the last 20 years, the progression of that as more and more firearms owners understand just how necessary it is to be politically active, that's been going on for over 20 years, and we're really seeing the effects where our vote comes out during elections, and our culture is strong. We're a massive political force in Canada today, and political parties know that, smart political parties.
So how's the atmosphere though? Like, were people walking out purchasing firearms, or do you find that it's little people are a little skeptic because they don't know what's going on? Right.
I gotta tell you, our booth was right at the front of the show, right by the entrance, and that's very deliberate because we want to get people coming in, right? So on the first day, the Saturday, and of course Saturday at any gun show across the country, it's usually a Saturday and a Sunday, that sort of thing. The Saturday is the most busy day, between the hours of like 9 a.m. and 1, because people want to get in, they want to get deals done, they want to find what they want. Anyways, on that Saturday, as people purchased firearms and were on their way out, there was a line in front of our table of people waiting to get their guns wrapped, because you can't leave the facility unless you wrap the gun. I got to tell you, it was like 150 feet long people waiting to get out of there.
No, that's good. That's good to hear. Like, I mean,
yeah.
Like myself and Rick, we're going to be at a gun show on Sunday. Down here in Ontario, I guess we just do Sunday shows. We don't do the weekend shows. And, I'm really interested to see what the atmosphere is going to be like down here. If people are going to be hesitant to buy guns, with pistols, with what's going on with pistols and the possible bans. And then with some of these other firearms that nobody knows if it's going to hit the next round of Liberal NDP knockoff, right? So, it's good to hear. Well, it's good to hear, Blair, that it was that busy and the lineups were that great. Like, I love hearing that people are still buying.
Jordan and I are going to be attending in Arthur, Ontario, for anybody who wants it's actually going to probably be the first gun show that's a go in Ontario. It's in Arthur, Ontario. It's one we haven't done before. I think it's a new one. Jordan and I are going to be there, and I think probably our lobbyist, Charles is also going to be there. And, we will, if you guys can come out and, buy some guns, support us, talk to us. We're more than happy to talk to anybody that wants to talk about what we do and what we do in Canada. Please come out to the Arthur Gun Show on Sunday this weekend.
Right. Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it. Rick, it's been 2 years since we've done a show. it's gonna be different. Like I love getting out and talking with people. They come to our table. What's going on? You have a conversation. I like the ones that they're all for firearms, but then they tell you, hey, we don't need this gun. We don't need that gun. And I love hearing why. And then you engage in a conversation with them. Tell me why we don't need a short barrel pistol. What's the difference between a short barrel pistol and a long barrel pistol, other than physically the barrel size, right?
And then we get the guys that they come to our to come to our booth and talk to us and say, well, you guys are doing a good job. So I ask them, are you a member of the NFA? Well, no, I'm not a member. I said, well, it's not easy and it's not cheap to go out there and battle in Ottawa all the time. So, we talk to them and we tell them what we're all about. And a lot of times we sell memberships for that reason and get some support, get some donations, which is always good. This is a hard fight. We do need the donations. That's what the NFA works on. We're a non-for-profit organization. And, we do need the donations and gun shows. For the people that are skeptical, we explain our position and go from there. And, most of the time they'll buy a membership and help us out and plus give us a donation, buy some clothing, buy some swag and, leave happy.
If you predicated every purchase of a gun based on are the Liberals going to ban it, you will never buy another gun again. And I think
Blair, I think that's right, but I think it's kind of wrong too. Look what happened when they were talking about banning the ARs. AR sales went through the roof. And actually I was at a few gun shops last week, and I'll tell you, for some reason, handgun sales and shotgun sales seem to be going through the roof right now.
I can confirm that. Yes.
Yeah. I was, you know, there's talk of handgun bans and stuff, and I'm telling you, I was at one of the local gun shops a few days ago, and they got quite a large display of handguns, and there was a lot of people standing around that handgun display and looking at handguns and purchasing handguns. So, I think there's a trend coming here.
Yeah, and you know what? It's one thing to enact legislation. It's another thing to enact an OIC, because that's easy to do. Does not require any oversight by Parliament. Does not have to be passed by members of Parliament. You just think it up to do it. But it's quite another thing to actually confiscate people's property. And I think the Liberals are dealing with that now. It's like, well, we've passed this OIC. We want to confiscate this property. Some of it we know where it is and we know who has it. Most of it we don't, because it's just out there. So in typical Liberal fashion, well, we need traction. We need an issue. We need to show we're doing something. We'll just do it and we'll figure out how to actually get it done later. Don't worry about it. We'll just pass it. We'll pass it. Yeah. And then 6 months or a year from now, we'll have it in place and it's a done deal.
We'll sort it out then.
And it doesn't work that way. And it's always been this case, even in the past, in previous OICs where they tried to facilitate this sort of thing with very, very low numbers of guns too. And it didn't happen because they just couldn't figure out how to get it done. And of course, the public opposition to this and the threat of civil disobedience really, really complicates the matter. So once again, yeah, great. You've effectively banned the property of tens of thousands of Canadians. Those Canadians are still in possession of that property. It's your intention to try and confiscate it, but little more difficult than you thought it might have been in the beginning, huh, Liberal
Party?
Well,
I'll tell you, I'm going to be speaking to some NDP MPs, and I'm going to ask them what their position is on personal property. You know, what is your views on personal property? Can it be seized? I'm going to ask for their position, and you know what? If I can, I'll even record it and see what their position is on personal property, because you know this is what it boils down to: is our personal property. I want to talk to some of these guys.
And this has always been a point of contention in Canada. And to give you an analogy, when have been gun seized in the past? There were gun seizures in the C-17, C-68 area, where some guns were restricted, some were prohibited, and some were just outright prohibited with no grandfathering. Very low numbers of those guns were outright confiscated. Previous to that, during the Second World War, where Canadians of Japanese descent had their personal property confiscated, and they were interned in camps. Okay. And that property included firearms as well. Including things like handguns, with the handgun registry being brought into effect in 1934. So, and that wasn't compensated either. So these were very, very highly contentious issues. Comparatively low numbers of firearms involved compared to today. And I think people learned a lot of lessons. Maybe not this Liberal Party, but I think if this ever came to be, I think they'd find that the public outcry would be massive, would call into question. People really value their property and they value their property rights. And it's not just us. We have a lot of people who have no interest in owning a firearm who understand that, no, this is people's property. You cannot treat people's property this way, even if you're offering some form of compensation. Because it's not about compensation. This is a principle. Okay.
Right.
You know, I don't care how much you want to give me for it. I'm not going to take it. Okay.
They're also giving you your own money back, right? They're using your own money to buy back your guns.
Yeah. And your money
my bone to pick is to buy something back. I'm of the impression that you had to own it in the first place.
Yeah.
You're going to buy it back.
So nobody buys this. It's like, well, you'll get something for it. Well, no, it's my property, and I decide how much it's worth, right? So it brings all of these fundamental questions into play, and it's something the Liberals really haven't considered, because it only comes down to crunch time. And in the past, they've proved that they don't mind turning people into criminals overnight. But when it comes to this many people, this many Canadians, Canadian taxpayers, and this amount of property, it's very, very complicated. And I think that's part and parcel why they extended the amnesty for this OIC another year and a half.
I'm just, you know what, another thing, like you just said, turned people into criminals overnight. I don't know, Blair, you'd probably know better than me, but has that Ruger 10-22-25 round mag law been challenged by anybody yet? Has anybody been charged under that?
No. Well, here's the thing. The charge comes – Canadian law enforcement agencies have a bit of a protocol going in regards to this, okay? And we were a little bit worried about this in the past, okay, because we know how many of these magazines are out there. We know how many Canadians own these magazines. They've been, even after the magazine capacity restrictions of the early 1990s, these particular magazines kept on coming into the country for 25 years because they were legal. Rimfire rifle magazines, okay? So there are probably millions of them in circulation in the hands of nominally law-abiding regular Canadian firearms owners. Law enforcement agencies, when faced with this question, I think understood that. They went, well, God, we're gonna find people with these magazines. What are we going to do about it? So I think in most cases, what they're doing is just confiscating the magazines from people. Okay, they're just saying, look, that's prohibited. You can't have that. I won't charge you, but I'm taking the magazine. And most people, rather than, you know, get into a bind with the law, will say, hey, I didn't know. I understand. Where we do see charges, and I haven't seen a lot of charges lately in conjunction with this, is when they're found in the possession of actual criminals committing actual offenses. And it's sort of added on, you know, in terms of charge stacking. Well, armed robbery, assaults, unauthorized possession of a weapon, and possession of a prohibited overcapacity magazine. And of course, a lot of those charges get dropped if the offender will plead to the main charge. So I don't see a lot of these prosecutions going forward just because, well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a waste of time. Why prosecute somebody, ruin somebody's life over possession when one of these things when he didn't know? Yeah. Do you really want to do that as a police officer?
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? My point right from the beginning of this whole thing, you know, there's so many of those Ruger 10-22-25 round mags out there. How many of these firearms are out there on the OIC, and how many people are going to comply? And how, you know what? Talk about flood the courts.
Here's an example. Here is an example. If you look at the Liberal OIC document, they estimated that there were 4,000 Ruger Mini 14s and variants in Canada. And this is a firearm that has been imported into Canada for, oh my God, almost 50 years. Okay. 4,000 of them. Do you know where they got that data from?
I have no idea.
They got that data from the old Long Gun Registry. That is the number of Ruger Mini 14s and variants that got registered under the Liberal Gun Registry back in the 1990s.
Wait a minute. Isn't that registry supposed to be destroyed?
Oh, we know it isn't.
I know.
So basically, you take that number there, so maybe 25% of the people, maybe 30 registered their Ruger Mini 14s.
Well, that's rather
generous. That brings that number up to what, 12,000, 14,000 at that time? How many have come in the country since? You know, so their numbers, their projections, their numbers are, just like all the Liberal numbers are out of whack big time.
Their numbers to justify this are so out of whack, it's not even funny. And it's not funny because this affects regular Canadians.
Yeah, they skewed the numbers. Like, they would know because they have import records. Like, every time a firearm comes into Canada, there is an import record of it. So
they didn't even use the import records. They used the Long Gun Registry records.
But they would, I mean, if they were smart, they would know. So here you would have an exact number of how many of these non-restricted firearms are out there. But is it going to look good in the public eye if you say, hey, we're going after, you know, 300,000, 400,000 of these non-restricted? The cost goes up. It'd be very easy for us to say, hey, listen, this is no longer, what they say, $753 million plus buyback. Like, we're talking 15 billion by the time they're done. Now, that's saying, like, how much money are they going to give us for these firearms, right? Like they can skew the numbers that way too. Like, okay, we're going to give you $50 for a lower receiver. We're going to give you $25 for an upper. Well, no, that's not what it cost. Right. And so, I mean, I don't know. I still can't get it. Like I can't walk on to a car dealership and say, hey, you have to sell me that car and this is how much I'm paying, because that's exactly what they're doing to us. They're coming to firearms owners and they're saying, you have to sell me your AR-15 and this is how much you're paying. I didn't know business worked like that.
Yeah, well, and you know, there's the next problem too with just AR-15s are all registered, but how many people have two or three different uppers, which they prohibited in the OIC ban? How many people have two or three different uppers for that firearm?
They have no idea how many.
They have no idea.
And all of us know or have a pretty good idea of how many there are. I mean, because, you know, in the past, 10, 15 years, it has been very popular to have multi-caliber rifles. Okay, so they didn't even take that into consideration. And frankly, it doesn't matter at the end of the day anyway. It's a complete waste of Canadian tax dollars. And I would say the most nominally anti-gun Canadian at the end of the day, if he's concerned about his pocketbook, is looking at this going, this is not the right thing to do, because first of all, you're compensating people's property. You're not going to pay for what it's worth, but I'm going to, as a taxpayer, pay for it at the end of the day. And frankly, I don't support that. There's not a broad base of national support for this move, especially for the cost involved and the taxpayer dollars involved. So again, it is a liberal hobby horse.
Yeah, right. Their support's got to be minimum. What do they have? The anti-coalition gun coalitions. What's their membership? 5 or 10,000? Like, you know, they're not winning that many votes by doing this. But no. That's why they play these ads. They fearmonger on us, on the Canadian public, right?
And they have their key players that flood social media with false comments. And I'm not going to name them right now. I'd like to, but I can't right now. And we deal with them all the time, and they're just nothing but propaganda artists. You know, pushing false data, false facts out there. It happens all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I've been watching these comments coming in, and I love when everybody's, you know, watching our show here, the comments coming in, it's great. We love the support. We love to hear your thoughts. Please comment what you think, where we're going with this. What's next? I'd love to hear it from everybody.
Yeah. Like I say, it's time, for our part, as far as the NFA goes, it's time. You know, we've got to work harder. You know, with this new joining of the hips, we have to work harder. And like I say, the job's bigger. But I'm going to reiterate, we got to go out there and do it. You know, we got to talk to these people. We got to go out there, and we need to reach their constituents. You know, because. Yeah, we need to get the word out to their constituents. And you know what? You guys voted liberal, but now you're supporting the NDP. A lot of people, you know, we mentioned this earlier, and I'm just saying it again. A lot of people are going to be upset about that, and that's a new alley that we need to pursue. And you know what? The firearms rights plays right into that for us too, because there's a lot of liberal voters out there that have firearms, and I'm sure there's a lot of NDP people that have firearms. You know, they look at Northern Ontario. There's a lot of guns in Northern Ontario. Northern Ontario usually goes NDP orange, you know, and I'm just wondering what all these NDP voters are thinking now that are firearms owners, that, you know, they're hunters, they're sport shooters, those are the people we need to reach out to. And so they can reach out to their MPs.
Yeah, not only that, but I mean, these are people who are also affected by the OIC.
Absolutely.
And apparently the NDP is support that. Okay. Yep. They need to be asking some very, very strong questions, for their MPs and elected representatives. Okay. Because, hey, you think this is, it's not going to affect me. It does affect you. You know, it affects you, and you need to get on their faces just like you did during Long Gun Registry.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, we've been going on for almost about 40 minutes now. I think this is a good time to draw to end the show.
Just to wrap it up, and I know there's a lot of concern out there about this coalition, and oh my God, it's a majority. No, it's not. coalitions are, you know what it reminds me of? This coalition reminds me of another coalition, the coalition between Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union back in 1939. Okay, and they didn't do a lot of good things with that coalition, as you probably remember.
Right. So,
two very diametrically opposed political entities forming a coalition for their own purposes, and these coalitions in Canada do not last long. And frankly, with Justin Trudeau's government, which is a very old government now, and this desperate attempt for him to cling to power, there's got to be liberals looking at this going, what has happened to us? What has happened to us as a party? Okay, this is not the Liberal Party I know and understand. We're not serving the interests of Canadians, certainly not economically now. The Prime Minister is not serving the interests of Canadians, and he's not representing Canada internationally in the way that needs to be done. And now he's forming deals with the NDP. I think there's a lot of soul searching going on here.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, you know what? The NFA is ready to put their heads down and fight harder. We fight hard now, but this stuff comes on. It gives me more incentive to just get out there and start swinging. I'm tired of this stuff. We need to make some stuff happen. And, I'm going to definitely be on. I know all our guys are going to be on the road talking to people and talking to MPs and talking to their constituents to make sure that we get the word to Ottawa where we all stand on this. It's important that we need to do that. And, like I say, with the help from our members, we appreciate that, and we'll be fighting for you guys.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's wrap it up at that. And if anyone from Ontario, if you're around on Sunday, come out to the Arthur Gunn Show. Come talk to myself and Rick personally, and maybe we'll see you there. So until next time, thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Blair. Thanks, Rick. We'll talk soon.
See you, Jordan.
All right.
Thanks for listening to this episode of NFA Talk. Like and follow the NFA on social media and sign up to become a member.